From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis on the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. My name is Jenna Gibson, Associate Director for Communication Technology and Programs at KEI, and I will be your host today. In this episode, we are connecting with Hyunwoo Sun in Seoul. Hyunwoo is the founder of TalkToMeInKorean.com, which is a site that uses video and audio lessons to teach Korean to foreigners. Started in 2009, it has now grown to an audience of millions of listeners. Hyunwoo and I discuss the origins of TalkToMeInKorean.com and how it has changed over time. And we also talk about the cultural aspect and how they use their site to not only teach about nouns and verbs, but also show people what Korea and Koreans are really like. Hyunwoo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start from the beginning. What inspired you to start Talk to Me in Korean?
Well, the usual answer that I give to people is that I started learning English when I was in high school. And then about 2 or 3 years after that, I started actually making international friends. And the first few friends that I actually made, they started asking me some questions about Korea. And I was very happy to answer those questions, but those questions began to be really repeated, like over time. The same questions were being asked to me over and over again. So I decided to eventually create a website where all the answers are aggregated and, you know, in one place.
Out of curiosity, what were the kind of questions that they were asking you?
Mostly about how the Korean age system works and why Koreans have a different age than the international age, and also what people can say safely to Koreans and what they should avoid saying, and also why Koreans always ask other people whether they have eaten or not, things like that, cultural questions.
Oh. So when you started, you were kind of trying to answer these questions, the cultural questions. How did it turn into a language learning site, and what was the original goal you had for your site?
Well, I know the struggles of any language learner because I also had to teach myself English here in Korea without any exposure to many native speakers, or, you know, I didn't really have the chance to study abroad. So I had that kind of experience before, and then I was working on these videos and also possibly an idea for a website. So I thought, why not incorporate my, you know, learning and teaching experiences into the website so that other people who are probably learning Korean as their first foreign language to learn a little more efficiently.
Some of our listeners might know, they might be visitors to your site, but Talk to Me Korean now has hundreds of lessons, millions of downloads. You sell textbooks, you have a cafe in Seoul now. So did you think when you started that it would become this big and this broad?
Not really. I don't know. I don't think I could have actually imagined Talk to Me in Korean being this big. I didn't even think that Talk to Me in Korean would reach more than, I don't know, tens of thousands of people. Now we have reached like tens of millions of people. This is great, of course, but I was just doing one thing at a time, and then things led to other things, and eventually we have several things that you just mentioned.
When you first started, how did you kind of adapt your lessons to an online format? And what were some of the successful ways that you were able to do that, and some of the not so successful ways that you were able to use the internet as your medium to teach language?
I see. Well, personally, from my personal experiences in middle school English classes here in Korea and high school English classes here in Korea, I strongly believe that like true learning will only happen if you really like the teacher and, like, you know, as a person, and also like the interactions with the teacher. If you hate your teacher, even if the textbook that you're studying with is really, really interesting, you will probably drop, you know, out of that class, or you will probably stop learning. So since we can't be in the classroom with all of our students who are studying in Venezuela, Russia, you know, of course, in the United States and Canada, we wanted to be likable teachers. So we first started creating really bite-sized lessons that make people want to go to the next lesson. And we, you know, we were really trying our best to make that happen. Like, how can we encourage people to just keep listening? You know, it's just audio podcasts, so there's no real legal, you know, like enforcement or anything.
Right.
No pressure on them. So yeah, I just wanted to have them enjoy our lessons.
So as you mentioned, you have listeners from all over the world.
Yeah.
How did these people get interested in Korea? From what you've seen, what brought them to your site and made them decide to start learning Korean?
Well, what made you become interested in Korea?
That's a good question. I actually, I did it kind of backwards. So I didn't know anything about Korea. I didn't barely know anything. I studied French in college, and then I had the opportunity to move there. And so I moved, and then I realized how great it is. And so I stayed and became more and more interested in how do you and everything like that. So
I see.
I did it backwards, I think.
You really did it backwards, because most people do the opposite. They become interested. They think about moving to Korea or visiting Korea for many years. And then they eventually finally save up enough money or find an opportunity and come here. So I think most people who are interested in learning the Korean language or about the Korean culture through our site, they're usually introduced to Korea through a person. I know K-pop is really popular, but most people have at least one or two Korean friends, like this friend who made them drink their first glass of soju or made them do their first, you know, round of Korean games. So I think it's usually people who connect other people.
That's great. That's kind of a deep sentiment, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Koreans started going overseas, of course, and many people already went to the United States in the 60s, 70s. But these days, especially, a lot of young Koreans are going to the States to study English or to pursue their further studies. And then if they can, they want to avoid hanging out too much with other Koreans. So naturally, they make local friends. And then I think also naturally, they kind of give the Korean culture to their friends.
What are the kind of demographics? What are the audiences that you see at your site most often?
Well, right now, interestingly, the number one country, because we're teaching in English, and also because podcasts and audiobooks are actually consumed in large amounts in the States, the United States of America is number one. And interestingly, number two is Korea.
Really?
Yeah, because all the people who are working here as expats, they don't really have a lot of free time to study Korean here, you know, because their life here is busy.
Right.
So during their commute hours, they listen to our stuff.
All right, that makes sense. You know, if you're already in Korea, that means you must be interested in Korea and learning Korean, so.
Yeah.
Have there been a lot of changes in the type of people who have been interested from when you started in 2009, I believe, right?
Yeah, we started the site in 2009, and many people actually think that with the rise in popularity of K-pop, like, more people must be interested in learning the Korean language because of K-pop, but we really haven't seen that big of a change.
Right, yeah, I think a lot of people kind of expect that, you know, Hallyu has brought so many people into, you know, being interested in Korea, which may be true, but you haven't seen that.
Yeah, we haven't really seen that, because I think there are other much bigger websites for people to consume the Korean entertainment news at, or, you know, there are other places that where people can go to, you know, see those things. So I guess people who have just started enjoying K-pop or K-dramas, they are still staying there. But I think the people who are visiting our site, they've kind of passed that stage. They've already learned a lot about the Korean culture, and they are serious about learning. So I think that's one of the reasons that I haven't seen a lot of changes.
But you have been trying to incorporate some Korean culture, not just pop culture, but also some other things into your lessons. How have you tried to do that?
Well, it's very easy for me to incorporate Korean culture and also pop culture because people always leave us comments suggesting ideas, lesson formats. So we just, you know, read the comments and kind of figure out what people want rather than just trying to come up with an idea on our own from our, you know, desktop. So people always give us really great ideas. And also the reason that we try to put some contents out there about K-pop is not because of the people who are interested in K-pop, but actually because of the existing students and to make learning more fun for them.
What are some of the culture lessons or the non-grammar lessons, I guess, that people have been most interested in?
Okay, so before coming to Korea, they want to know how expensive life here in Korea is. So we made a video, quite lengthy video actually, about the cost of living in Korea. And a lot of people watched that video and many people started comparing the prices of things in their country. And some people were saying, oh, Korea is so expensive. Some other people were saying Korea is so cheap. And also we recently made a lesson about things you can say to a Korean person who is starting their military service. And we also made a video about what military service is like here in Korea. Things like that.
Okay, so very practical things, it sounds like.
Yeah, and a few months ago when the MERS outbreak was a huge, you know, issue all over the world, especially in Korea, we made a video specifically on that topic. You know, is MERS really a big thing, big problem here in Korea? Should you reconsider coming to Korea? Things like that. And many people really appreciated that video. Because we are here in Seoul, Korea, we can always show people we're not in some other country. So we can just tell people what is happening here in Korea very objectively.
Mm-hmm. As you may know, at KEI here, our mission is to promote dialogue and understanding between the United States and Korea. So could you tell us a little bit more specifically about your American audience? Are there any particular characteristics that you've noticed about your American audience as opposed to other countries?
Well, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't mean it in a bad way, okay? So I think our European audience members are learning Korean as their fifth foreign language or fourth foreign language. But for most of our American listeners, it's their first foreign language. So they also share the same kind of struggles, same kind of frustration points that Korean students actually go through when they're trying to learn English. So I see a lot of similarities in that aspect. So since I also teach English on TV here in Korea, I'm also an English teacher. So I'm trying to be the same person, applying the same methods to both languages. But other than that, I think since America is a country where many, many Koreans have migrated to, they, like I said earlier, they're actually used to having Korean friends around. And surprisingly, a lot of people have already had Korean food. It's not like they've never had Korean food. It's not like they have no idea what kimchi tastes like. Or, you know, they have some exposure, quite a lot of exposure to the culture already.
Right. So, like you mentioned, maybe they do have Korean friends at school or things like that. It kind of brings them into learning about Korea already, right?
Yeah. So sometimes when, for example, somebody from the States comes to Korea and I meet up with them and it's their first time, I'm sometimes surprised by how much they know. They know things that I don't really know about, you know, fashion trends or K-pop bands or, you know, famous restaurants, things like that. So it's really interesting.
Right. So I'm really interested by the fact that when you started, it was more to answer questions and teach foreigners a little bit about Korea rather than teaching them Korean per se. And I know that that's something for me, you know, I lived in Korea for 2 years and I was teaching English in a middle school. And what I realized is that half my job is, standing in front of them and reciting vocabulary. And then the other half of my job was when they would come to me afterwards and ask me questions about the US, and they would be very curious about what it's like to, live in the US and be an American. Do you feel that way, that what you're doing is representing Korea to your foreign audience? And how do you balance that with teaching them Korean?
I think what we do on the site and various social media channels that we manage is, first of all, I think the most important thing is to teach the language really well. And we don't want to put our thoughts into other people's minds, saying, Korea is this beautiful country. Korea is perfect. You should come live here one day. I don't want to try to persuade people that Korea is just awesome in every way. We just want to show how life is here in Korea, like everything in a natural way. So that's why whenever I start working with somebody new, like when we hire our new teacher, we always kind of even threaten them to fire them if they don't join all these social media accounts. You should join Twitter, you should join Facebook, and you should interact with the audience. Whatever message they get from us is up to them. I think we don't try to really represent Korea, but we just show them what we're up to, and then people will interpret it in their own way. So, yeah, that's our approach.
One thing I'm really curious about is your cafe. So this is relatively recent, but how did you make the transition, or how is it different having the cafe and being kind of in person versus having your site?
Well, our activities haven't really changed it that much because the coffee shop is basically an addition to our activities, our online activities. Our core activity is still on our website. We don't go to the coffee shop every day. We're not there every single day, all day long. It's just a really good place where we can meet face to face with people that are on the other side of the internet cable, I guess. So at first, the idea behind it was that since we're sending out books every day, like we have a dedicated outside shipping team. So they ship out all of our books that are ordered the previous day. And then since there's a little label that says our address, many people would actually just come to our office and knock on the door and then just come right in.
Really?
And yeah, and in the beginning, we were just really happy to meet everybody. When it first happened, we were just thrilled. Oh my God, please come in. And we would chat with them for an hour, for 2 hours, have lunch with them. It's not a bad thing to do, but later we realized that if we spend 1 hour, all 7 or 8 of us, 1 hour each, like at the same time with one listener, we're missing 8 hours of work that we
Right.
could use to help millions of other people. It's not that we don't want visitors, it's just that it's not the best use of our time. So we decided, okay, let's find a meeting point where we can meet people regularly instead of just having people just come by irregularly, randomly. So that was the idea behind it, and we're very happy to meet up with our listeners in the coffee shop because when we go there, we don't work. We just go there to hang out with people. So we're more at ease and we feel like genuinely relaxed.
Right, which is always good.
Yeah.
All right, well, is there anything else that you want our listeners to know about Talk to Me Korean or about you?
Well, about me, I don't know if there's anything that they should know, but about Talk to Me in Korean, we are 6, 7 years into business, and we still consider ourselves a young company, and there's a lot more we want to do. So please just pay attention, pay interest to what we're doing, and we really promise that we can deliver more high quality lessons and stuff like that in the future. So we'll do this for a really long time.
Sounds good. All right, Hyunyu-san, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.